Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5:30. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal Cancer Flights and Services say they're prepared to protest in Dublin if a resolution isn't reached by Monday over the midday Aer Lingus flight from Donegal to Dublin. President Catherine Conley is set to make a two-day visit to County Donegal next week. A Donegal deputy has slammed the political theatre when talking about a meeting between Enterprise Minister Peter Brook and fuel companies today, and the number of people on the live register in Donegal fell slightly last month. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher has the latest in sport, August Tarration, and Nuked by Colm Ferter. Donegal Cancer Flights and Services say they're prepared to protest in Dublin. That's if a resolution isn't reached by Monday over the midday Aer Lingus flight from Donegal to Dublin. The service is vital for patients travelling for essential medical appointments. Following discussions with the Department of Transport, the group says officials have confirmed there's no new legal barriers to keep the previous flight schedule. The department officials remain in negotiations with Emerald Airlines and say they want to resolve the issue as quickly as possible. The group says the situation has gone on long enough, and Mary Coyle, manager of Donegal Cancer Flights and Services, says a definitive update is urgently needed to protect the lifeline service.
There were two issues to be further discussed and looked at, and that was to make sure there was no legal implications, and that was confirmed today. We're almost halfway. Now, we don't have the full story, as they are still in discussions with Emerald Airlines. But I would like to think that it's positive enough, the fact that they're still sitting around the table. So again, we are waiting. We're going to be waiting for another couple of days, and hopefully they will come back to us early next week.
It's the view now of the Cancer Flights and Services Group that if there's not a decision made by Monday, that you are going to start looking into protesting outside Leinster House.
It is, and we made that very clear to the Minister that we're not going away. We came into this protest to come out with the retention of the flights as they were. We're not looking for any more or any less, just the schedule that we had. And if the answer next week is not to the liking of the people of Donegal, we will be then mobilising people to go to Leinster House.
President Catherine Conley is set to make a two-day visit to Donegal next week. During her trip, she'll travel to Kellybegs, Lifford, Letterkenny and Ardrah across Tuesday and Wednesday. With more, here's Siobhan Maguire.
The President will start her visit in Kellybegs on Tuesday morning, where she will open the Atlantic InnoBlue Communities International Creative Jam. The event will bring together people aged 16 to 30 to examine new approaches to youth innovation and entrepreneurship in the development of the Atlantic area's blue economy. President Connolly will then attend Donegal County Council event in Lifford before continuing to the Cara House Family Resource Centre in Letterkenny in the afternoon. She will then visit the Donegal Travellers Project, concluding her first day in Donegal. President Catherine Connolly will participate in one engagement on Wednesday morning at Ardrah Community Child Care Centre. The group has called the visit a tremendous honour for their setting, for the children and staff, and for the town of Ardrah.
A Donegal deputy has slammed the political theatre when talking about a meeting between Enterprise Minister Peter Burke and fuel company representatives today. The industry reps say they'll cooperate with the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission investigation into price gouging. It's happened since the start of the conflict in the Middle East. Today, the average price of 500 litres of home heating oil in Donegal sits at €785. That was €502 on Sunday. Deputy Piers Doherty says he believes government have the power to reduce the price, but they simply aren't.
I have heard no accountability whatsoever from the government. I haven't heard them say that they're going to bring in legislation to give additional powers to the regulator. I haven't heard them say that they're going to bring in additional legislation to make their pricing by the companies and those that supply them more transparent. None of that happened today. What happened is he waltzed into a meeting with the energy companies, said that they're going to monitor the situation. What monitoring do you need? These prices are through the roof, and government is one of the beneficiaries of this here. Well, remember, when you're talking about petrol and diesel, on average, 65% of the cost of a litre of diesel goes into the government's pockets. It is the government who benefit the most of this here. So where is the proposals from government to say, we hear you, we understand these prices are coming on top of other cost of living pressures, and that is why we're going to remove the carbon tax, the excise duty from these products.
And there'd be people who would say that if government did back down and reduce their cost on this, that they would be, I suppose, facilitating the price gouging, because energy companies then, you know, will be able to still have their prices up, and it's kind of be a mask then if governments sort of take their end out of it, if you get what I mean.
I don't agree with that at all, because you do both. You hold the companies to account, you make sure that there's no price gouging taking place, you empower a regulator to make sure that they have actually the teeth to actually deal with those issues. But at the same time, as these prices are going up, and nobody's denying the fact that what has happened in the Middle East is causing prices to go up. The question here is are companies exploiting it? Are they passing it on too quickly? Are they putting a little bit in themselves?
Well, the CEO of Fuse for Ireland insists the price gouging is definitely not happening. Kevin McPartland says the impact here hasn't been as severe as some might expect.
I don't know how much clearer I can be. There is no price gouging. The data absolutely demonstrates it. I'll say again, the global commodity prices show an increase in kerosene of 75% in the 6 days up to yesterday, of diesel of 48%, of petrol of 15%. We have not had those same increases passed on to consumers in Ireland. There is no price gouging.
Well, President Donald Trump's appeared to rule out negotiations with Iran and is calling for its unconditional surrender. In a social media post, the US president also suggests the country will have a great future after it selected an acceptable leader. Meanwhile, Israel says it's destroyed an underground bunker built for Iran's late supreme leader. Journalist Tarek Hangrilou says it's a very significant development.
These are the same compounds that we saw earlier during the first day of the war. This is where the supreme leader was presumably hit. This is called Beit Rahbar, the compound that belonged to the supreme leader, the IRGC, and there are multiple government officials there.
Meanwhile, a third commercial flight from Dubai is due to arrive in Dublin this evening. It's operated by Emirates, which says it hopes to return 100% service within the coming days. A government chartered flight, which was due to depart from Oman tonight, has been delayed until tomorrow afternoon. Foreign Affairs Minister Helen McEntee says it's the result of challenging operational conditions for flying in the region. Her department will cover the cost of the overnight stays for passengers. However, adults due to travel tomorrow will be charged around €800. The number of people on the live register in Donegal fell slightly last month. The figures show a decrease from 7,394 in January to 7,370 in February. Ryan Brawley reports.
Decreases were seen at five social welfare offices across the county. In Ballybuffet, 921 people signed on in February, down nine from the previous month. The number dropped by five, from 466 to 461 at the Donegal Social Welfare Office. At Killybegs, the figure fell by 7 month on month to 370, while a drop of 13 was seen in Dunglow, where 769 people signed on in February. The largest drop of any social welfare office was in Dunfanaghy, where the number of people signing on reduced from 526 to 508. There were increases at social welfare offices in Ballyshannon and Buncrana, with the largest increase being 111 in Letterkenny, as 2,114 people signed on last month.
Police in Derry are monitoring pre-arranged fights among young people tonight and possibly over the weekend as warmer weather arrives. Chief Inspector Cathal Pearce warned officers will take a robust approach against antisocial behaviour, urging young people to consider the harm that they cause. Police appealed to parents and guardians to know where their children are and what they're posting on social media. Authorities are working with schools, community groups and local retailers to prevent incidents and identify those involved. Residents are encouraged to report concerns via 101, 999 in emergencies or anonymously through Crime Stoppers. East Donegal councillor Dakota Ní Vanaman says the inclusion of faddas and personal records boils down to respect for people's names. She's backing her party's proposed legislation to ensure faddas appear in the spelling of names and addresses. The long accent used in Irish changes both the pronunciation and meaning of words. The move aims to make administrative systems more accurate and inclusive for those with Irish names. Councillor Ní Vanaman stressed the correct spelling in official records acknowledges cultural identity and heritage.
Blahina, for example, so Blaha's flower, and then the E at the end would suggest a little. So you're adding that wee bit on, so that's what the meaning has then. And, you know, when you take away the fada or whatever you do, then you're taking away that meaning as well. So it is really important that we're giving it the respect it deserves.
Do you think that Irish can be overlooked in this sense? You know, there would be people who would say that if this was to do with a different language, that it would be taken more seriously.
Yeah, I think it would, because our language has been so overlooked and it's so anglicised nowadays. Like, even, you know, place names and stuff, you know, people, like in particular the Gaeltacht areas, people use English versions of the Irish names, you know, and we are losing that. And I think it's really important that we are getting back to that when we do recognise the actual meaning and going back in history and what was actually being said before the Anglicisation happened. So yeah, and like if it was other languages that are spoken every day, you know, that are seen every day as the language of that country, it would be more important than us. But we need to get that back, and we need to recognise that Irish is the language of Ireland. You know, it is there, it's in the Bunratt and Héireann, so we have to recognise that.
It's 5:42 here on Highland Radio. We'll have sport with Mark Gallagher after this short break. It's 5:45 here on Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We'll start with golf. It is day two of the Arnold Palmer Invitational in Orlando. A short time ago, Rory McIlroy came through the front nine on even par after a birdie on four and a bogey on eight. Overnight leader Daniel Berger is just out on course for his second round, while Shane Lowry tees off at 6:30. Moving on to rugby, Andy Farrell insists Ireland won't underestimate Wales in tonight's Six Nations clash at the Aviva Stadium. Wales arrive in Dublin hoping to end a 14-game winless streak in the competition, and Farrell feels that their opponents showed improvements against Scotland. Ireland registered a record victory over England last time out, but the head coach believes there is room for further improvement.
It's just about having respect for ourselves, really, isn't it? It's about making sure that we show that we're able to push on, not just be as good. Like, you know, we want to kick on and understand why certain things happened and went well, but also why certain things didn't happen and where we're going to improve and kick on our game. So
Jacob Stockdale, Jack Conan, Tom O'Toole, Ronan Kelleher and Nick Timoney all come in to start, and scrum half Nathan Doak is in line to win his first cap from the bench. Kick-off at the Aviva is at 10 past 8 tonight. In soccer, Finn Harps welcome the challenge of Wexford to Finn Park this evening. Harps have made a decent start to the First Division season, with good results coming against UCD and Cove Ramblers in recent weeks. Former Harps captain Joe Boyle says he expects another positive result tonight.
At the minute in the First Division, when you look around, there's very little between a whole scatter of the teams, and I would expect nothing different this week. And when you look at Wexford's side there, Stephen Elliott has certainly signed well. He's brought in a couple of really good players, and you know that will be a threat to Harps this week. So they will need to be on top of their game to get something out of the match this week. But I do expect them to get a positive result this week again.
We'll have updates from that game at Finn Park with Jeremy Doherty from 7:45. Elsewhere in the First Division, Cork City make the short trip to play Cove. Kerry host Tralee in another Munster derby, and Athlone go to Bray Wanderers. In the Premier Division, last year's top two meet in Tallaght as Derry City travel to play champions Shamrock Rovers. That game is at 8 o'clock, and at the same time there's a Dublin derby at Tolka Park between Shelburne and St Pat's. Galway United host Dundalk at Eamon Dacey Park, and tabletoppers Bohemians head south to face Waterford. Both of those games are underway from 7:45. Wolves go for a second big win over Liverpool in just a few days when they meet in the FA Cup fifth round tonight. They got a shock 2-1 victory against the defending Premier League champions in the top flight on Tuesday evening. There is an 8 o'clock start time at Molineux this evening. And there's mixed news on the injury front for Ireland ahead of tomorrow's match away to Holland in the Women's World Cup qualifiers. Captain Katie McCabe has been given the medical green light and travelled with the squad, but key midfielder Denise O'Sullivan will sit out the game with a knee injury picked up in Tuesday's 2-1 defeat to France. In Gaelic games, Patrick McBurdy says he has no regrets about retiring from inter-county duty. Donegal's most decorated player stepped away before the start of this season, having won 7 Ulster titles and 1 All-Ireland. The Kilcare man says it's been a big change, but that he is enjoying watching the team perform well.
A big change for myself, been involved since I was 17 and just stepping away there. But, you know, the lads, looking at the performances, maybe I'm getting digs from in different WhatsApp groups and people meeting in the street that I should have retired 2 or 3 years ago with the way things are going. But, you know, I miss it big time, but I feel the time was right for myself in terms of the body and the mileage on the clock. So, you know, no regrets when it comes to that there. But looking forward to seeing now how they get on the championship later on in the year.
After last week's win over Louth in Darver, Donegal have now won all 4 games so far in their National Hurling League Division 3 campaign. A win against Wicklow this Sunday would see Mickey McCann's side guarantee themselves a spot in the league final at the end of the month and promotion back to Division 2. I spoke to Mickey on the Score programme this week and he says promotion is the top priority.
We put ourselves in a good position now, Mark. We have 4 out of 4. Yet now we're still probably the two top teams to play, which is Roscommon and Wicklow. So, we have to get one victory from either of those games to get promoted in the league final. So hopefully we'll try our best to do it this Sunday against Wicklow at home and put ourselves in the league final if possible, you know.
We'll have updates from that game with Chris Ashmore from 2 o'clock at O'Donnell Park on Sunday. Neither the men's or ladies footballers are in action this weekend. That's all from the Sports Desk for today. But don't forget to tune in later for live updates from the Finn Harps game from 7:45. Back to you, Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. Agus Anish and Nuked, the Colm Ferriter.
Seymour Mahas a column for everyone, so Lina Preeves guilty. Renew group of factors, Tihiokta Giltokta, Chin Town, Agoj Jamarch, Timuita Chalayan, Amalia Heclia, the Hail of Erin Ara Tihiokta, James Brown, Grivu Lyra, Erin Yerkem Tihiokta, August Changan Sigiltert, Renew Elev Erin Direct, Trollinchi, Planolani Giltokta, Agalushir and Fihifia Sahin, Leshan Gierkem Tihiokta, Agdolan Olchus, agus cantar gaeltachta builte go donna leis a go hariathe. Beis seachta na Gaeilge in a rithe an uscaidí an seachta leis ag do mí Márta agus tá clár farsing imeachtaí Gaeilge beartaithe ag ranóg na Gaeilge agus ag teirbhís lorlainne sa chóide chondé dhún an áil lena chóis tá grúpaí pobal eile ar fud an chondé dhún an áil i mbun gréithe fásta le linn tréimhse seachta na Gaeilge. I measc na imeachtaí a bheas ar siúl na ceardlan garaiadóireachta ceiliúrú ar le dóinde na lóir Rive Oliakta the Fuesti August and Shogren Gail Gairi he is in Gidor August Kirkle Cora a runt the onage service of Publi na Corlia Hyundai Curran Lienra Letcher Kennan August Common Tractala Letcher Kennan Karu Oskulta Riv Gnolakti Agaj Fanyogi a Washu Concaluru a Yenif Erchart in the Gailiga August Fela Neve Fadrig Ta Kodj Noti on a Niamh Padraig and Noor and Charlton Shaw Bay, a cafe August Kenneltus on Jamarch and Jaihula, August La Aluhan, Da Ahar, August Ahar La Halsha, August Aguramori, Jaloon and Sheol La Jeg, Bay Iha Oskulcha Laius, San Enid Jiriha Erfer, Jacadin and Arta La Jeg, August Damare, Erin Jardine and Neil La Jeg, then V Shaw. August Branu Gradam and Uctoran Fergus O'Hare Eg Ard Esh Connor Nigeliga and Jerry Sharton Yishai Harta Mel Firstja Duish Vliontula Ta On Avranter Ergenya Erlai and will Eerti Genta Aku or Son Nigeliga August Nigeltakta Roni He Eg Uctoran Connor Nigeliga August Shin Machodche Eligulier Slanagos Barak.
Grammar that column. €10.6 million has been allocated to Donegal under the Energy Efficiency Retrofit Programme. The investment's been made with the aim of accelerating the retrofitting processes for social homes. Donegal has been given the second highest award in Ireland of the €140 million total. Minister of State Charlie McConnellogue says given the current pressure on the cost of home heating oil, measures like this are welcome.
Obviously, we're in a very challenging situation since the invasion and the conflict in Iran in the last few days, and we've seen that spike, and that's something the government are monitoring very closely and will continue to assess very closely as well in relation to what's happening there. But I think it does speak as well to the benefit of, from a long-term point of view, availing of the opportunity to retrofit homes and increase the energy efficiency of homes, because that does reduce the energy bills. And for Donegal County Council's housing stock, and for people, so many people across our county who are living in council accommodation, this retrofitting funding this year and getting the second highest allocation of any county in the country is very welcome in terms of bringing down the heating bills for people in their homes.
And what kind of work will this cover? You know, what can people expect to see as a result of the funding?
So it's for deep retrofitting, so it will ensure the house is fully insulated in terms of walls, roofs, ceilings, and also where necessary, other work as well required to do that. So it will be up to the County Council to assess the best way now and what's needed in each home. But the fact we've received €10.6 million for this year from Minister James Brown, the second highest in the country, is very welcome. We'll ensure that a lot of homes can benefit from this over the course of the year, and a lot of families see their heating bills reduced as a result of that too.
Looking now to the weather forecast, dry this evening and tonight with mostly clear skies, lowest temperatures of 0 to 3 degrees with frost developing in sheltered spots. To conclude this evening's news, a look back at today's main stories. Donegal Cancer Flights and Services say they're prepared to protest in Dublin if a resolution isn't reached by Monday over the midday airlink connecting Donegal and Dublin. The service is vital for patients travelling for essential medical appointments. Following discussions with the Department of Transport, the group says officials have confirmed there's no new legal barriers to keeping the previous flight schedule. President Catherine Conley is set to make a two-day visit to Donegal next week. During her trip, she'll travel to Kellybegs, Lifford, Letterkenny and Ardrah over the course of Tuesday and Wednesday. A Donegal deputy has slammed the political theatre when talking about a meeting between Enterprise Minister Peter Burke and fuel company representatives today. The industry reps say they'll cooperate with the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission investigation into price gouging. It happened since the start of the conflict in the Middle East. And the number of people on the live register in Donegal fell slightly last month. Figures show a decrease from 7,394 in January to 7,370 in February. That's all for now from the newsroom. Back with news at 7. The obituary notices this Friday evening, March 6th. The death has taken place in Coventry, England on Tuesday, February 24th, of Linda Doherty, formerly of Urismanna Clonmany. Linda's remains will arrive at Bridgend Border tomorrow at approximately 3:45, going to the family home in Urismanna. Funeral leaving from there on Monday at 10:40 a.m, going to St Michael's Church Arras for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to dementia research. House private, please, from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on church services. The death has occurred of Dennis Donaghy, Moville and formerly of Redcastle Cottages. Dennis's remains will leave Eamon McLaughlin's funeral home, Station Road, Carndonagh, this evening at 7 o'clock, going to the home of his parents Marjorie and Gerard, 246 Redcastle Cottages, Redcastle. Funeral from there on Sunday at 12:30 for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Columbus Church Drung, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam. Family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to White Oaks Rehabilitation Centre, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Martina Doherty, Marty, née Murphy, St Columbus Avenue, Buncrana. Remains are reposing at her residence. Funeral from there tomorrow at 9:30, going to St Mary's Oratory for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Graveyard. The death has occurred of Peter Freel, Lockrose, Milford, reposing at his home today until 10 p.m. Those attending the wake should park at Milford Mart Car Park, and a bus will be provided from there. Requiem Mass tomorrow at 11 o'clock in St Peter's Church, Milford. Burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Haematology or Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.